if you will. Acts chapter number 9 and verse 1. We'll read a few verses there and we'll take our text there. As I began to read the scripture, as we turn into our scripture there, I'm going to ask my deacons again if they'll come up and pray around us, if you will. All my deacons, if you will, come on, pray for us around us. Amen. Thank you, men. Appreciate you. Love my deacons. Amen. Love my deacons. Acts chapter number 1, or chapter number 9, and we're going to look at a few things here in this scripture this morning. I'll be honest with you this morning, church. God gave me this message Friday morning as I was going to work. God laid this on my heart. And I believe it's a message that needs to be preached. I've been praying about the message that the Lord has us to preach tomorrow night at the revival. And I just want to say I hope that you'll be praying for us tomorrow night. I thought maybe this was where the Lord has us to go then. But God's burdened my heart this morning. I can't get away from this to preach this. But I'm scared to death. I'm shaking in my boots because I stand between someone and eternity. I'm just going to say it that way. That's the only way I know to put it. I feel like I stand here this morning between somebody and eternity. And I got to preach this message to you this morning. I'm just shaking in my boots. I want to make sure I mind the Lord. But I want you to listen to me this morning. I want everybody to look this way. Don't be looking at anything else. Don't be texting. If you got your phone out texting, you need to throw it in a chunk in the trash, okay? But anyway, listen, I want you to listen to me this morning. We're going to preach on what Paul had. What Paul had. And I believe when we look at this, I believe that if we are saved and born again this morning, and I say that with all sincerity and surety in my heart, if we have what Paul has, I believe I'm saved this morning. Amen. I believe I can say this morning, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, I'm dying and going to heaven. Notice I didn't say dying and going to hell. Because if you don't have what Paul has, then you're dying and going to hell this morning. Every one of us in this church this morning, we're dying. I hate to tell you this morning, but you're dying. You ain't living, you're dying. Amen. Every one of us. We all have a time out there. If time stands and Christ does not come back and get to church, every one of us has a date and a time and a second out there when your heart's going to stop beating. You're going to get to that place where you're going to give up the ghost and you're either going to heaven or you're going to hell, one or the other. It could be today, it could be tomorrow, it could be next week. But every single one of us is in that place today. You believe that? Say amen. Amen. Every one of us are there today. Now, so preacher, that scares me to death. That worries me. Well, if you're not saved this morning, that should worry you. But if you're saved this morning, you ought to be shouting glory, hallelujah. Amen. I ain't dreading that day. I'm looking forward to it. Amen. I'm looking forward to it. Looking forward to going home being with my Savior. Amen. And can't wait to get that. You say, preacher, how do I know? How do I know beyond a shadow of a doubt if I am ready to go or if I am going to heaven? Well, I'm glad you asked. Amen. I'm glad you asked. Amen. Because what we're going to do is we're going to look at what Paul's got. And I believe what Paul's got is the instructions, I guess you'd say. It's the ingredients. It's exactly what we must have to know that we are going to heaven, okay? Acts chapter 9, verse 1. Let's stand for the reading of God's word. You pray for us this morning and help us as we get into the message this morning. The Bible says in verse number 1, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest, and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he find any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem." Now, I ain't talking about what Paul's got right there. Okay? Paul's going to find some things. He's got some things in his hand, and he's on a journey. He's on a mission. But boy, he's fixing to meet somebody. Amen. Look at verse number 3. "And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus. And suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed and with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither did he eat nor drink. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Rise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth. He has seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard much by many of this man, how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went in his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me, that thou mayest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith, and arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again, Lord, for your grace and your mercy. God, we thank you for your love. We thank you for being so good to us. Lord, we can't thank you enough for just loving us and caring for us. God, we come before you this morning. God, thank you, and God, for the opportunity we have to gather ourselves together in your house. Lord, I beg you here this morning that you'd help us. Lord, you know the need. Father, you know my frame. You know my body this morning. God, you know what I need. Father, I pray you'd help us this morning. I pray the power of God would fall down upon us, Lord, that you'd use us for your glory and your honor. Lord, I do beg you this morning that you'd bind the devil and his imps and his demons. Bind the devil this morning, bind Satan, Lord, I pray. And remove him from this place, Lord, I beg. If there's any opposing force whatsoever, Lord, in this building, or in the hearts of any people that's in this place, God, I beg you, Father, you'd bind them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you'd remove them from this place, that I might be able to stand and proclaim the name of Jesus, that I might be able to stand and proclaim the word of God with boldness, Father. Lord, I'm begging you for your help this morning. Lord, I know, God, I need you. I can't do anything without you. Lord God, I'm asking you, Father, that you touch these people. Lord, if there's one there missed, lost, don't know you in a free part of sin, oh God, let me step between them and eternity. Lord, let me proclaim Jesus Christ before them. Lord, they don't have to go to hell this morning. Oh God, show them, Lord, that you died for, that you might be saved. Father, help us this morning, I pray, that we'd be obedient to thy word. And Lord, we'd say everything we should, but nothing we shouldn't. Again, Lord, I beg for fresh oil and fresh unction and the Spirit of God to drip from our members, God, here this morning. Lord, my voice and my mind, give me clarity of speech, clarity of mind. Father, whatever's accomplished today, Lord, I'll give you praise for that you do. In Jesus' precious name, we do pray. Amen, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Amen. Thank you, man. Amen. Amen. Say again, I appreciate my deacons. Appreciate them being able to call upon them, being able to them pray around us. Boy, I thank God for that. I'm reading this scripture, and we're going to look at it very deeply, I guess, in depth a little bit. And I'm going to try my best to hurry this morning. I'm going to try my best to preach. Brother Chad, he's aggravating me as I was going back in the prayer room there a while ago about if I was ready or something like that. I don't remember exactly how the discussion got started. And I said, I've got a big one this morning. Amen. I've got a beard, as you say. Amen. I need to wind it up, get it all together, but you're going to have to listen fast so I can preach fast. Amen. I'm going to give you about seven things this morning with the thought about that we must have what Paul had. Amen. I want to say that one more time, if I can, this morning, that you must have what Paul had in order to make it into heaven. Now listen to me, church. I want to be very blunt this morning, and I'm going to be very straight with you this morning. Easy speech is understood. Plain speech is easy understood. It talks about it. And I want to be plain this morning. I'm not going to cut any corners. I'm going to tell you just like it is, okay? And you are here this morning as a dying people. And we are going to two different places. If you're saved, you're going to heaven. And if you're lost, you're going to hell this morning. Amen. And I want to say this too. It don't matter how old you are. It don't matter how young you are. It don't matter what your name is. It don't matter how much money you've got. It don't matter how long you've been in church. Amen. You can have had your name on a church roll for 75 years and still die and go to hell, okay? You need to understand that this morning. So I'm preaching to everybody. Amen. This is going to be a blanket message. I don't know. And I've been praying God would give us strength and give us guidance on this that we may just reach someone that is lost. Listen, this may be the last message that you hear, okay? This may be the last word that you hear out of the preacher's mouth preaching out of this King James Bible. This could be the last one that you hear. Amen. We heard two, and I'm trying my best. I'll get into it here in just a minute. But before Sunday school, before we ever even got in to the opening part in Sunday school this morning, you listen to me close. We heard of two different people that dropped dead this week, that quick, unexpected, did not know that they were going to go out into eternity. One of those people, I had no idea I was going to bring this out. I thank you, Lord, for the thought. But one of them was kind of older. One of them was on up in years there. One of them was a little bit aged, if you will. And then we heard of a six-year-old girl that died that quick. Went in and mama found it there in the bed that morning. And it died. That happened this week, okay? And that's the reason I'm scared to death here this morning, because I'm standing in front of you preaching a message like this, and you could be the exact same way, amen? You could not make it through this week, amen? You might not wake up in the morning, amen? And I'm here to tell you as a man of God that if you don't get saved by God's grace and you don't accept the blood, you will die and go to hell, amen? Hey, so thank be to God. There is a God in heaven, amen, that gives His blood, that if we accept His blood and we accept Him, amen, we've got heaven to look forward to, amen. So I say glory to God for that, amen. I don't know about you, I'm glad I preached this message this morning, amen. If it wasn't for Jesus, we'd have no hope this morning, amen. If it wasn't for Jesus, I couldn't preach something to you that would help you and keep you out of hell, amen. If it wasn't for Jesus, amen. Somebody will say, thank God for Jesus. Amen. I thank God for Jesus this morning. We notice in the scriptures here, Paul, boy, he started out, his name Saul, and he started out, had his hands on some letters, headed down there, if you will, to Jerusalem, getting ready, if you will, to kill some more of the Jews, and kill some more of the church, if you will, and headed down that way. But boy, he got to a place there called Damascus, and when he got to that place, man, there's something shining around him, amen. Thank God for that. Let me give you seven things this morning, if I can, that God has given me, laid upon my heart, that Paul had. Number one, Paul had a place. Amen. I'm glad for the place. Amen. Bible says here in verse number 3, read with me. He says here, and his ass, he journeyed. He came near Damascus. Amen. You want to know where Paul's place was at? It was at Damascus. Amen. Hey, listen, you listen to me this morning. You better have a place. Amen. You listen to me very close this morning. You might not be able to tell me the very date and the very time, but you better be have a place. Amen. I can take you back to Hitch's Chapel, Baptist Church up there, about right there where I know beyond a shadow of doubt, Jesus Christ moved into my heart. Amen. The Holy Ghost saved my soul. Amen. I thank God for that place. Amen. Amen. Church, have you got a place this morning? Amen. Amen. You ought to be thinking back in your mind right now. You ought to be going back to that place. And you ought to be saying,
shoulders, and he'll make you doubt your salvation. But if you've got that place where you can go back to, every now and then I'll take you back to that place and just rub his nose in it, and say, that's one place you didn't get this one, Thank God for the place, If you ain't got a place this morning, there's a good chance you ain't saved. Amen. If you can't remember that place where you knelt down and you called on Jesus Christ, you better find your place. Amen. You better get saved or you may die and go to hell tomorrow. Amen. You better get there. I look at that place where Paul was at. Boy, it's a place of, I guess you'd say, of a place of particularity, if you will. It's a place where Paul knew exactly he could go back to. If you read over there chapter 22, you read in other places in the scripture, you know what Paul did? Every time he'd get up and he'd begin to witness, he'd say, let me tell you what happened to Damascus. Let me tell you what happened on the road to Damascus. Amen. In other words, he had a place back there. You know what you ought to be doing when you witness? You ought to be saying, hey, let me tell you about that place. Let me tell you about where Jesus came into my heart. Amen. I know you see verse number 3, read with me there. Bible says this, and as he was on his journey, amen. Listen, we're everyone on a journey this morning. We're everyone walking this road, amen. Walking the road of life. And when you're walking that road of life, there'll be a place where the Holy Ghost of God will come by. And he'll prick your soul, and he'll convict your heart. You listen to me. I believe it's the depths of my heart now. You listen. I believe every individual, man, woman, boy, and girl, they will have an opportunity to accept Jesus Christ. Amen. I believe they'll have that opportunity. Amen. And there's going to be a day in your life that the Holy Ghost is going to come by and he's going to show you a wretched sinner, show you heading to hell, and you better accept him. Amen. And thank God for that journey. But there's going to be a place on that journey where Jesus is going to come by your way and shine around you like he did Paul. Amen. And light it up. Amen. Yeah. And thank God he'll save you if you just call on him. Amen. Paul had to call on him. Amen. You notice what Paul said? He said, who art thou, Lord? Amen. He recognized, amen, that he was a God. There's something different about him. Amen. And he said, who art thou, Lord? So I say to you this morning what Paul had. Number one, he had a place. And you better get you a place this morning. I want to say one more time. You listen to me this morning. I'm preaching to those that are in the church. I'm preaching to visitors. I'm preaching to everybody under the sound of my voice. I've been preaching to the live feed this morning. You better get you a place. Amen. You better have your place. Because if you don't have a place, the great chance you ain't saved. Amen. And if you ain't saved, listen, you're going to die and go to hell. Amen. 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 I believe that. Number one, he had a place. I thought about this. Number two, boy, God began to give me this. Boy, it just stirred my heart. I said, thank God I've got a place. Amen. I said, Lord, help me to preach this message. Maybe a lost person. I said, but thank you, Lord, that I've got a place. Thank you, Lord, you showed me where I got saved one day. Amen. Thank God for that. I say, number two, not only we need a place, no, Paul had a person. Yeah, Lord, he got to the person. Amen. I got to let myself hurt. That'd be all right. Amen. What did Paul say when he got down there and the light shined around him and Jesus called his name? You know what he said? Who art thou, Lord? Amen. I'm glad this morning it's none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You listen to me very closely today. Allah cannot save you. Amen. Allah cannot save you. Confucius cannot save you. Amen. I don't care if you call it any. Joseph Smith cannot save you. Amen. Mary Baker Eddy cannot save you. Amen. Even the Pope cannot save you. Amen. He cannot give you salvation this morning. I want to say to you this morning, I'm glad I've got a person. Amen. And that person is alive today on the right hand of Father making intercession for me. Amen. Thank God I've got a person this morning. Amen. I don't know if anybody else is going to die. Amen. Hey, you better have your person this morning. Amen. You better know in whom you called. Amen. Paul said there in some of the speeches that he wrote there, he talked about the one that he called on. Amen. He said, I know in whom I believed. Amen. And I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I committed to him against that day. Amen. You better know who you called on. Amen. I believe there's a lot of people today, and you listen to me very closely. There's a lot of people today that's come out of those Baptist pews, sitting out there amongst everybody else, and they get up down to this altar and get down to that altar, and somebody might tell them how to pray. Somebody might make them sign a card. I believe that's happening in a lot of churches. Amen. And what's happening is they're not calling on Jesus. They're calling on the person that's beside them there. And they're lost. They get up and go back to their pew just as lost as they did when they got there. Amen. I believe that happens. I do. I'm going to tell you something right here. You listen very close. I know who I call on.
Amen.
Amen. I know what I got right there. And it's his Chapel Baptist Church. And began to cry out. Hey, Noah Peters took the word of God. He opened it up. And he took me down that Roman road. And I sure didn't call on Noah's name. I called on Jesus' name. Amen. Thank God. I'm glad I've got a person this morning. Amen. I ain't just got some person. Amen. It ain't just some person. Amen. I didn't just call on somebody. But I called on him. Amen. I called on the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the Lily of the Valley and the Bread of Life. I'm enjoying this. Amen. I called on him. Amen. I'm glad to say this morning I have a person this morning. Amen. And he ain't just an ordinary person. He's special. He's special. And he still lives with me every day. He still walks with me every day. He still goes with me. Oh, as I said a minute ago, yes, there's troubles and there's trials in this life. But ain't you glad you got Jesus?
Amen.
Ain't you glad you got somebody you can call upon? Amen. You got that person. I called on him then for salvation, and I've been calling on him ever since.
Amen.
Amen. I've been crying to him ever since. Amen. And he's never left me. He's never forsaken me. Amen. He's took care of me. He's watched over me. Amen. I say glory to God. Amen.
Amen.
For that person. Amen. Everywhere you're at, he's there. David said in the scriptures, if I ascend into heaven, behold, he's there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, he's there. You can't go anywhere to the end. Amen. Thank God for my person. Amen. Oh, I'm glad he gives me some strength. I'm glad he gives me protection. I'm glad he helps me. Amen. What a blessing. I know that. Amen. Notice with me in the scriptures, verse number 5, the Bible says this. And he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I like that. You need to underline that in your Bible. And the Lord said, that means something, amen. Somebody else can say it, but he said, and the Lord said. Who did the Lord say he was? He said this, I am Jesus. If that don't show you the resurrection of Jesus Christ, there's something wrong with you.
Yeah,
right. Amen. You ain't got to sit down and pray if you can't believe that, amen. He said, I am Jesus, amen. Thank God. You said, preacher, why is that exciting? Because Jesus is supposed to die. According to the world, he died, he's buried, he's taken away with him, amen. Listen, he's risen today.
Amen.
Can I say that one more time? He's risen today.
Amen.
And listen to me this morning, when he came down and the light shined around, he looked at Paul there and said, I am Jesus.
Amen.
Can't you stop right here just for a second? Do you remember the time when he come by you late and he said, I am Jesus? Oh, that name. I am Jesus, that name that's above every name, that name that brings peace everywhere, that name that's greater than any other name, amen. I am Jesus, amen. Wonder what Paul thought. Paul, I'm telling you, he's down there, he's on his face, boy, he's seen the light, he's heard the voice, and he said, Lord, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus. I don't know about you, but tonight I got saved. When I got out of that pew right there and I headed down to this altar, all I had in my mind was, I'm going to hell. I'm going to hell. I'm going down to hell, but I'll get saved. I'm going to. And I got down here, and you know what I found? I am Jesus. Noah took that book, praise God for the word. Noah took that book, and he went through that book, and he took me down that Roman road. And you know what I found again that Roman road? I am Jesus. Amen. I found him. Amen. That's my person. Amen. That's the one that I'm saved by. Amen. That's the one that you'll be saved by. Jesus says in the scriptures over there, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Amen. He said, I'm the only one. You can call on who you want to call on, but you'll never be saved without calling on Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It'll never happen. Amen. You've got to call on him. I'm glad I've got a person.
Amen.
You better have a place, church. Listen, brother, listen, neighbor, you better have a place. Amen. But you better have a person as well, amen. You better know who you called on. There's people all over this world. There's people all over our county, all over our state, all over our nation. They're crying out to all kind of gods. They're crying out to the gods of this world, expecting them to get them into heaven. Let me say this. Everybody look this way. Not everybody that dies is going to heaven.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. Not everybody that dies goes to heaven. Okay? But we have a mentality in our world today that everybody that dies, well, they're just saints. They're going to heaven. We believe even when Jesus wanted. Be with him one of these days. Oh, no. Listen to me. You must be saved. Amen. The Bible says, marvel not that I say to you, you must be saved. Amen. We've got folks all around that believes all this other stuff. They can be saved. Either other way, it'll not happen other than by Jesus Christ.
Right.
You better have a person this morning. Yeah. Amen. Number two, we find we must have a person. Then I thought about number three. Listen to me this morning. You better have a prayer. You better have a prayer. There better be a time in your life that you call on Jesus. Amen.
Right.
There better be a time in your life that you got down under conviction from God and you called on his name. Amen. Notice with me in the scriptures right here. We find, first of all, in verse number 5 there, Paul says this, "Who art thou, Lord?" You know what he's doing? He's praying. You know what prayer is? That's a communication between you and God. Amen. That's exactly what it is. And Paul gets down there and he says, "Who art thou, Lord?" In other words, he's crying out to him. But he goes a little deeper than that. Read on down with me in the scriptures here. Go with me to verse number 11. Verse number 11. Jesus comes to Ananias and says, "Go down there and find Paul." He said, "When you go in there," he said, "speak to him." But notice what Jesus says in verse number 11. "And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street," notice this, "which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus," notice this, "for behold, he prayeth." Did you get that?
Yeah.
"For behold, he prayeth." You should get a little trivia here. How long Paul prayed? 3 days. You read. 3 days he prayed. 3 days he stayed down there in that house, in Judas' house there. And that was not Judas' Iscariot, by the way. But that was Judas' house, and he stayed down there in that house. He never ate. He never drank. But he stayed on his face, and Jesus tells Ananias before he ever gets there, he said, "Behold, he prayeth." Anybody in here ever prayed 3 days straight? I'm gonna be honest with you, I ain't. Something, listen to me, something tore Paul up.
Oh, yeah.
Amen. Something tore him up. Old preacher, it's just because he lost his eyesight. That's probably part of it. Amen. That's probably part of it. It wasn't all of it. Amen. You know what tore him up? He seen himself as a wretched sinner, dirty, going to hell, and now he must be saved.
Amen.
Amen. And yet he didn't know exactly how to call him. Amen. And Jesus told him to go down there. He said, "Behold, he prayed." Amen. I'm glad to say to you this morning, the way we get to Jesus is you've got to pray.
Amen.
Now listen to me very closely right here. I'm trying my best to be very, very camp close right here, okay? It does not matter exactly the words that you say. Okay? I could go back through here through the congregation and I could ask each one of you. I didn't ask Brother Steve back here. I didn't ask him what he prayed. I asked Brother Gene, Brother Mike, Sister Harley, Sister Louise. I could ask you, when you got saved, what words did you use? And I'll guarantee you, probably 90% of us could say, "I don't have a clue." Would everybody agree with our same man?
Amen.
"I don't have a clue." I'm going to be honest with you, when I got down on my knees right there, the only words that I ever remember was, "Lord, save me, I'm dying going to hell." That's the only words that I remember, okay? Your prayers are personal. I have a problem, a major problem, with folks that will get folks down to the altar and they'll give them a card or something to give them and say, "Here, you've got to pray this prayer." Or preachers that will stand up here and say, "If you want to be saved, pray this prayer after me." I have a problem with that. saved this morning. Amen. I say glory to God for prayer. Amen. You better have a prayer. Now listen to me this morning. These things that I'm giving you this morning, and I'm trying my best to hurry, but God's really helping me this morning, okay? These things that I'm giving you this morning are personal things. They are personal things. It's not got to do with me. It's got to do with you.
Right.
I've got to find my own place. I've got to find my own person. And I've got to find my own prayer. Same way with you. You've got to have your place. You've got to have your person that you called on. And you've got to have that prayer that you prayed. Amen. It's individual this morning.
Amen.
What would they say? Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Listen to me this morning. I stand between you. And I don't know who needs this message this morning. I'll be honest with you, I don't have no idea. But I know the devil has fought me. He beat me to death. When I came in this morning, I was in the hospital at midnight last night at the emergency room with my dad. Thinking in my mind, Lord, what can I do? Lord, you've got to give me this message. I got on my phone, I opened it up, I began to read the scripture right there in the nursery. I said, God, you've got to give me some time to study, get this all together. You know what he said? No, I don't. I said, no, I don't. He said, but you get up there, you'll be there. Lord, I got it here. Amen. Lord of God, he's able. Amen. Thank God, listen, he's able. But he's sent this message to somebody that needs it this morning that may be dying and going to hell. Somebody that may be slipping out to eternity. God help us to realize it's real.
Right.
Hell is real, church. It's a real place. Amen. And it's real. Jesus is real to call on. But you better have your place. You better have your person. You better have your prayer. Amen. Let me move on just a little bit if I can very quickly. I want to give you just a little bit more about this prayer. You better have your prayer, and it really, the words really don't matter. Okay? Look with me in the scriptures there where Ananias goes to find Paul. Notice what he says here in this verse. Verse number 11. The Bible says here, and the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the street which is called Straight. Did you get that? Straight. Now you take that word and you look it up. My first reaction when I saw this was the scripture over there where it says, but straight is the gate and narrow is the way. Amen. That leads unto the destruction. Okay, remember that scripture? That's not what he's talking about here. When you study and you get into that Greek and you see those words are straight, you know what it means? It means to lay out prostrate. It means to get out on your knees. It means to bow your face to the ground. It means to get down before him. It means to humble yourself. Listen to me very closely this morning. You must humble yourself before God or you will not be saved.
Right.
Amen. I believe that. That word straight there means to be prostrate. It means to lay out there before him. It means to bow yourself before him. It means to humble yourself. I don't know if you're listening to this preacher or not, but I'm preaching you the truth this morning.
Right.
If you don't humble yourself before God, you will not accept him as your Savior.
Right.
Amen. You will not go to Jesus with a prideful heart. You will not go to Jesus with a heart. Well, I've been in church all my life. Mom and Daddy brought me into church. My daddy put the first brick on this church. My granddad laid the rock for this church. My granddad done this. My mama done that. It does not matter.
Right.
Amen. Amen. You know what that's going to matter when you get to heaven? Nothing.
Amen.
Amen. We put a lot of stock in. I want you to listen to me very close. I told you I was going to get plain. We put a lot of stock in these pews. We put a lot of stock in these doors. And I praise God for what he's given us to worship in this morning. I do. I praise God. I appreciate the pulpit. I appreciate the communion table. I appreciate the choir loft. But we put too much stock in our buildings.
Amen.
When what we ought to be doing is bowing ourselves before the Almighty God. Amen. And giving him the glory.
Amen.
You listen, this building ain't the church. I got a dear friend of mine. You know Brother David Edwards? First church he ever pastored, Stone Mountain Baptist Church. Y'all probably remember this. Stone Mountain Baptist Church. Got a phone call at work one day. Preached the church on fire. He got up, took off up there as fast as he could get there. Rounded the corner. You know what? Flames shoot 20, 30 feet out of the ceiling. Before it's all over, the church on the ground. Nothing left. The pews wasn't left. The pulpit wasn't left. Everything was gone. It was level. The only thing that was left, and the only reason it was left, is because there was a little space in between it and the fellowship building, and the fire department was able to keep the fellowship building. But the church building was gone. So for the next 2 years, they didn't leave anymore. They didn't give up. They just quit. I killed her day to day. I love you today. You know what they done? Next service, next Sunday morning, that fellowship really, they took the old bell that was out of it, put it in there. We cried, we weep, we pray, and he said at the end of the day, God said, I'm still God.
Amen.
A burnt building don't change me.
Right.
Amen.
He used to think of that. A burnt building don't change me. But I don't need a pulpit. I don't use it anyway, do I? I don't need a pulpit. Huh? I love the pulpit, don't get me wrong. And I praise God for the pulpit, and it ought to be in the church. Amen. But it ain't about the pews, it ain't about the pulpit, it ain't about the building. It's about Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. It's about Jesus. And what you listen to me very closely this morning. I don't care who you are, what your name is, how old you are. If you've not called on Jesus as your Savior, if you've not bowed yourself before Him and walked up that street called straight and got down before Him and said, Jesus, I need to be saved. If you've never done that, then you're lost heading for hell. Amen. According to that Bible, I ain't preaching Mark Hall philology. I'm preaching this word this morning. That's the book. Amen. You must be born again.
Amen.
You will. You listen to me. You will bow before Him. I'm reminded of that people from the thought of the rich young ruler came to him. Jesus asked her. He asked Jesus, said, what must I do to be saved? And he said, keep the commandments. He said, I kept them all from my youth. Man, I've done nothing wrong. I kept them all. That wasn't the truth statement anyway. But anyway, Jesus said this. He said, go and sell all you got. He said, then come follow me. The Bible says he went away much displeased. He went away sad. Why? Because he had much wealth. He had much wealth. I wonder sometimes, you listen to me very closely here, I wonder how many times that money will send folks to hell. The Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. He didn't say the money, he said the love of money. And a lot of times those that die and go to hell, they love that money more than they love God.
Amen.
I believe there's a lot of Christians, God just stuck my heart right here. I believe there's a lot of Christians today, they may be saved, but they love that money more than they love God.
Mm-hmm.
They love that money, and they'll put that money before Jesus Christ. God help you if you do that. Mm-hmm. I'm just being honest with you, I told you I was going to preach plain this morning. God help you if you do that. If you don't put Jesus Christ number one in your life, put everything behind you. Everything else is back on. And Jesus Christ is number one in your life. Then you listen to me. You're either lost or you're backslidden. One or the other.
Right.
You're either lost or you're not right with God. Amen. One or the other. We should take that. If I ain't got 2 cents, 2 pennies rubbed together, Jesus is going to be number one in my life.
Amen.
God blessed me and I thank God He has. He blessed me. I've never went hungry. And I say thank you, Lord. I do. I say thank you, Lord. But if I ain't got anything left in my life, He's still going to be God to me. I'm still going to put Him first. Amen. I believe this morning when we pray, we must pray with a humble heart. He said, behold, He prayeth. You better have a place. You better have a person. And you better, listen to me, you better have a prayer. Let me give you number four as we look on through this. I'm trying my best to hurry. As we look here in verse number 8 and 9, notice with me here, Paul said, Saul arose from the earth. And when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was there, he was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. You know what happened right here? He got a hold of that place. Boy, what a glory to God. Thank you for that. He got a person. He even got a prayer as he began to pray. But I believe what else happened right here, listen to me very close. There was some purging going on. There was some purging. this way. I'm going to make a statement right here that you need to listen to. If you proclaim to be saved, I don't know your heart, and I ain't going to say anybody's saved or anybody's lost. I cannot do it. But if you proclaim to be saved, and give you your heart, there will be a change in your life. There will not, and you listen to me very closely, you will not do the things you used to do. You will not go to the places you used to go. You will not listen to the things you used to listen to. There will be a change in your life. Let me ask you a question right here. Has anybody ever thought about this? What did Paul do with the letters that he had? Let that sink in just for a minute. What did Paul do with the letters that he had? They take them letters, and those letters were really in a book. Signed, sealed, with a stamp on it. He's headed to Jerusalem. He's fixing to grab, who's headed who? Might have been Peter, might have been James, might have been John. He's fixing to grab these men, and he's fixing to take them back, put them in prison, and most likely take their lives. That's what he's fixing to do. I don't know about you, but when I look at Saul right here, I don't know many people in my mind that's that wicked. That outfit was pretty wicked. Want to agree with me there?
Yeah.
Marilyn Manson's pretty wicked.
Right.
But I'm going to be honest with you, man, they'll take those letters, head down to Jerusalem, and take the life of a saint of God. Pretty wicked. Amen.
Yeah.
He's done held the coats of the ones that stoned Stephen. Amen.
Yeah.
He's wicked. You see Paul after this happening there at Damascus. Do you see him going back to what he did before, trying to persecute the church and trying to kill the church? Do you see him going back to that? Oh no, you don't see him going back to that. For 3 days he lays on his face, and for 3 days he does not eat and he does not drink. Why, preacher? Because he's purging. He's getting rid of the old sins. He's getting rid of the old nature. He's getting down there and he said, I don't want nothing to do this anymore. He's purging. Listen to me very closely. You want to know if you're saved or not? If you can do the things you used to do and it don't bother you, you're lost.
Amen.
I'm sorry, you're lost. I know this ain't popular preaching. I know it ain't, but it's true preaching.
Right.
It's right. You listen to me this morning. I believe from the depths of my heart, if I had to preach this, I don't know. I'm going to make it, okay? I have to preach this. But you listen to me very closely. If there's not a change in your life after you've said that day, you've got that place, you've got that prayer, you've got that right spot right there, you call on Jesus. If there's not a change in your life, you didn't get it.
Right.
You didn't get it. You may have went down and you may have said, and now lay me down to sleep prayer. You may have, listen, I believe there's folks that come to the altar sometimes they don't get it, okay? I like what Brother John Jerry Honeycutt said one time. He said, if they come down here popping bubble gum, and they go back popping bubble gum. In other words, they go down there and they just come, it's because somebody else come, or they just come because it just feels right and they don't really know what they're doing. That's, you listen to me this morning. I mean, it happens. Amen. I do. There's not a change in your life. Something's wrong.
Amen.
Something's wrong. You said, preacher, you tell me I'm going to live perfect. I didn't say that. Will everyone fail him? I fail him this week. Every one of us will fail him, and one of us will. I promise you that. But the thing about it is, you can't do what you used to do, and it don't bother you.
Amen.
Amen. You can't just go out to the places where you used to go, and it won't bother you. Say amen.
Amen.
You can't do it. There has to be some purging going on. It took 3 days, Paul laying on his face. 3 days laying there, not eating and not drinking. Had to be 3 days, and he purged himself. Paul had a place. Paul had a person. Paul had a prayer, but Paul also had some purging going on. He had some purging going on in his life. Let me give you number five. Number five, Paul's persuaded. Glory to God for persuasion. Preacher, what do you mean? You know what I'm doing this morning? Preacher, standing in front of slobbering and spitting and screaming and all. Yeah, you're about right. Jesus, the Bible says he cried aloud, he preached.
cry aloud, spur not, tell my people their sins. When I preach, I've got to cry out, because that's what God tells me to do. I don't have no words to preach behind the pulpit and stays in one place, just said a few words. I can't do it. Some other preacher might be able to do it. I can't do it. Okay? He's going to look over me. But you know what I'm doing this morning? I'm persuading you. Paul had persuasion. You know where the persuasion came from? Look at one of the last verses I read to you there. And what he said in one of the last verses, he said, "Received the Holy Ghost." Glory to God for the Holy Ghost. You know how you got saved this morning? By the Holy Ghost. You know what the Holy Ghost did for you? He persuaded you. Amen. You sitting there on that pew or wherever you was at before you were saved, you was there lost as a goose in a snowstorm, heading for a devil's hell. And the Holy Ghost comes by and pricked that heart. Said, "Son, let me take you off. Son, let me tell you that Jesus died for me." You know what he's doing? He's persuaded. Son, let me tell you, he rose again the third day. He's alive today. Amen. You know what that Holy Ghost does when I'm preaching like this? He goes out in the hearts of the people. Glory to God, amen. Amen. I can't do it.
Yeah.
I sat right there this minute ago and I said, "Lord, I can't do it. I can't save these people." He said, "Nope, you can't. Amen, I can, thank God. The Holy Ghost does, amen." You know what happened? The Holy Ghost goes out in their hearts. And the Holy Ghost persuades them and shows them their loss. And shows them that place where they thought they're safe. But they're not. They had the Holy Ghost does all that. I say, glory to God for that.
Amen.
Glory to God for the Holy Ghost. Amen. Listen, that's what it takes to be saved. If you ever accept Christ as your Savior, it will be by the Holy Ghost of God. It has absolutely, you listen to me, everybody look this way, it has absolutely nothing to do with the preacher preaching. It has absolutely, I don't care who he is that stands behind that pulpit, you can name a million, okay? It does not matter. It's the Holy Ghost that will save you. It's Jesus that will save you. Amen. When we have no wretched sinners, that God just look down and give us a little bit of grace, that we're able to stand, proclaim the name of Jesus, and tell you how to be saved. Amen. But it's Him that will persuade you. Amen. It's the Holy Ghost of God that does the persuading. But then there is, thank you, Lord, glory to God. Somebody may have to run for me right here. I'm glad I can take that word and persuade some folks. I say one more time. If you've never had the privilege of taking that King James Bible and kneeling down beside a lost soul and taking them down that Roman road to salvation, let them kneel down there beside of you and see the tears running out of their eyes and hear them in your ear calling out, saying, "Jesus saved me. Jesus saved me. Jesus, I'm lost. Jesus, I'm lost." If you've never experienced that, boy, you missed it. Oh, I don't tell you. You missed it, amen. There's nothing like it, amen. I say, glory to God for being in the birthing room, amen. Glory to God. You want to find somebody when it's still time to get saved, amen. You'll get there beside them and take and persuade them, amen. Let the Holy Ghost work through that word and persuade them, amen, to be saved. Ain't nothing like it, amen. Thank God for their persuasion. Paul had some persuasion by the Holy Ghost of God to come by his way, pricked his heart. And then old Ananias walks in. Glory to God for Ananias. Walks in, puts his hand on him. Anybody ever read, notice that scripture there? I don't know which verse it is you can read. But he lays his hand on him. Notice what he says. "Brother Saul." Did you get that? "Brother Saul." This is the man that Ananias looks back at Jesus. Jesus says, "Go down yonder and find Saul." And he says, "Lord, listen, I've heard all about this man. He's wicked. All things he's doing, the people he's killing, he's wicked man. Have you trying my best to quit, but I'm going to preach as long as old Keith gives me this, because this is important.
Amen.
If your wings and tables are more important to you, there's the Lord.
Amen.
Preacher, you shouldn't say that. There's the Lord. Amen. If there's something going on in your life, you're more worried about taking a nap and singing or getting somewhere than you are listening to the preaching of the Word of God and somebody sitting beside you dying going to hell. There's the door. Amen. There's the door. I believe it's that important. Amen. I believe we ought to understand that when we say it here and the Holy Ghost is moving and the Holy Ghost is persuading some folks, we ought to stay here a while. Amen. And as I said the other week, we ought to have a burden in our hearts to see that lost level get saved. Amen. I believe the church has lost its burden. I do. I believe we need to get that burden back for those lost loved ones. Amen. I believe that. I believe tonight we ought to be persuading them. Persuading them. The Holy Ghost is going to do it. Amen. I can't do it myself, but I can sure take that book and tell you about Jesus. Amen. I can take that book and tell you about Jesus. Glory to God for Jesus is all I can say. Amen. Glory to God for Jesus. I'm going to give you two more things and I'm going to close. I thought I'd go stop. God said, go on, so I'm going to go on. Paul had peace. Paul had peace. Paul has laid there for 3 days. He has not eaten. He has not drunk. He has not seen anything whatsoever. He's laid there on the ground in the house of Judas in that place called Straight. Ananias walks in. Ananias lays his hand on him and says, Brother Saul, Brother Saul. Wonder what Paul felt like. Just think about that just for a minute. He's lost his eyesight. He knows the Son of God has come down the hill and took his sight, and he's told him, he said, it's hard for thee to kick his bricks. I'm Jesus, whom you've been persecuting. Paul thinks in his mind, I ain't got a chance. There's many a person out there in this world, thank you, Lord, for the thought, that has said, I can't be saved. I'm too weak. I can't be saved. I'm too mean. I've had them look at me, but I'm witness to them. But they think I've had a look at me on job site. Say, I'm just too mean and wicked to be saved. And you know what? How about someone I'd say they ain't no one's too wicked? Ain't no one's too bad. Everybody was, for whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Glory to God for that. I want to catch you about marrying. Amen.
Amen.
Listen, ain't none too wicked, but I've had folks tell me. Too weak. There's none out there too weak.
Right.
Paul's laid on the floor, maybe he's thinking in his mind, I'm just too weak. I have no hope. None whatsoever.
And then Ananias walks in, lays his hands, and Brother Saul. And then about that time, the Bible says immediately, the scales come off the guys. And he raises up and looks. He says, amen, I got to buy something. Oh, no. I believe Paul was, glory to God. Glory to God. He said a word in Scripture I read this morning where he said he's going to praise God and lift up lifted hands. Amen. I believe he said, glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. I've got my sight back. Amen. Glory to God. That's what he done for me. Amen. Then the Bible says he stood up. He arose up. That's what he said there. And that book on his wife, he works there. He said he rose up. And he said he was baptized. And received the Holy Ghost. I said, glory to God. Amen. Do you reckon Paul had peace after that? Do you reckon after all he'd been through down from there, do you reckon he had peace? Listen to me this morning very closely. I'm still preaching on what Paul had and what you must have in order to get to heaven, to escape heaven. If you don't have peace in your heart this morning, there's no chance you're lost. I say that with all sincerity in my heart. And I know beyond a shadow of a doubt I'm smack dab in the middle of God's will this morning. That's a good country term, by the way, smack dab right there. I know that beyond a shadow of a doubt. But if you're here this morning and you do not have peace in your heart, then that's a good chance you're lost. But Jesus still saves.
Amen.
Jesus will still save you. Paul had peace. Now, I ain't going to tell you, you listen to me, I ain't going to tell you again that you ain't going to have trouble. There ain't going to be things that bother you. There ain't going to be times you're just going to take out the towel and you're ready to toss it. There's going to be those times I have to say. But in amidst that trouble, in amidst that trial, that tribulation, those things, you'll still have peace in your heart. God's got this. God's got this. Amen. Peace.
Paul had a person. You better get that person. You better know who you're calling on. Paul had a prayer. He got down on his face and he cried out. He humbled himself and he cried out. Paul had a purging. You better get rid of some of those things. If you ain't got rid of those things after you got saved, you're lost this morning. Okay? You need to understand that. Paul had a persuasion. The Holy Ghost persuaded him. And Ananias took and showed him how to be saved. Paul had peace. But then lastly, number seven, and I thought about this. I didn't think I was going to just mention three. I think pretty good, brother. Paul. You know what he did all the way through the rest of his life in missionary journeys? He was right back to preach. You ever had anybody, most of you ever heard anybody say this? Has he got any preaching? You ever heard that? Has he got any preaching? I don't know if I had any for it or not, but anyway. Has he got any preaching? I wonder if you'd ask Paul, Paul, you got any preaching? Notice the last verse that I read to you there in the scriptures. I'll give you this and I'll close. The last verse, chapter, I read to you there, chapter 9, verse 20. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God.
Amen.
Glory is all I can say. Amen. Glory. He got up and preached. Now listen to me very closely right here. I believe Paul got up and he knew Jesus. I believe Paul knew who Jesus was, okay? I don't believe this was no 50-minute message like I'm preaching this morning. I probably don't want to cross 50 minutes. I probably went across an hour. But anyway, it probably wasn't an hour-long message, okay? But I believe Paul got up and preached that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
Amen.
And you listen to me closely. If you're saved by God's grace, they'll not keep you quiet.
Amen.
If you can have something as big as God, as big as the Holy Ghost move in your heart, and you can keep it quiet, and he ain't there.
Amen.
I'm just going to be honest with you. He ain't there. If you can keep it quiet and not tell others about Jesus, you might need to do some picking up. Because
right.
There's a good chance you're lost, okay? Something as big as Jesus saved you from a devil's hell, a place that you spend eternity, a place where there's the tongue of the fire dies not, the tongue not quenched. This is where the worm dies not, where it's just falling forever and ever. Darkness forever and ever. People gnashing on you forever and ever. Through eternity forever and ever. It's a real place.
Right.
Amen. It's a real place. Jesus saved you from that place.
Yeah.
By dying on the cross. Shedding his blood for you.
Yeah.
Something like that to you. You sit there and not say anything. Where is it? Where is it? I'm going to be honest with you. I was even going far to say this. It worries me when I preach a message like this. And I see folks sitting there. Yeah, whatever. It's not the ones that shout amen. It's not the ones that raise their hand. I don't worry about it. No. So sit there with that blank look on their face thinking about what they're going to do this week. Amen.
Right.
It's those that sit there and worry more about what's coming up today, where they're going today, than they are listening. Glory to God, I've got a place.
Yeah.
Glory to God, I've got a person. Glory to God, I pray one day. I can go on. It's those that don't have that that worries.
Amen.
Now listen to me. I'll give you my heart this morning. It's been a long time since I preached like this. But I'll give you my heart this morning. I do my best to give you what God has given me. It ain't Mark Caulfield, okay? It's Jesus.
Amen.
It's Jesus. And you can look at it two different ways. You can look at it like the world does in a negative way and say, well, I can't believe that preacher told me I was dying going to hell. I've got it. Thank you, Lord, for the thought. I've got a great uncle right now. That will not have anything to do with me. Because I told him he's dying going to hell if he didn't get saved. I looked at him, I swear, in front of Buck and Bill, and I ain't saying it close to me. You've got it for you, okay? But I looked at him in front of Buck and Bill, and I said, son, if you don't get saved, you're going to die going to hell. You won't have anything to do with me. It's fine. And he looked at me, you can look at me that way. You said, preacher, I cannot believe you preach this way to me this morning. I cannot believe that you would tell me that I'm dying on hell. That you would tell me that God is such a judgmental God that he sent me to a place called hell. That's what I'm telling you this morning. Okay? And you can look at it as if harshly as I can't believe that you told me that. Or
mercy that God gave you this morning, another opportunity to accept Him. Amen. He gave you another breath, another beat of the heart to accept Him. He brought you to Pinnacle Baptist Church this morning to hear the Word of God preach, that you could hear the Word preach that Jesus still saves, that He's still able to keep you out of hell. Listen, He still loves you enough. You look at two different ways. But you need to understand this morning, you're in the best place that you've ever been in your life. You're in the best place. God's blessed you with the greatest blessing this morning, the greatest opportunity this morning, because He still saves souls.
Amen.
I'm glad to say to you this morning, glory to God, I got what Paul had. Glory to God, I ain't never been saved since, never will be. Amen. I'm glad I got.